tonight's scripture reading is from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Please be seated.
Good evening. This evening's lesson, the title of this evening's lesson, will be about the abundant blessings of God. And we will see the characteristics of the abundant blessings of God in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Here in this short prayer by Abraham, many individuals have become well familiar and known to this prayer. Individuals often overlook the beauty and detail exemplified within this prayer. The context of the priestly prayer is connected to preparation for worshiping God by Israel. Many individuals believe that the priestly prayer is in connection to the Nazirite vow. But when observing the scriptures previous to this prayer, we may all observe the fact that it is in connection to worshiping and serving the Lord. Rather, this prayer signifies that all who obediently follow the Lord and live by his commandments can obtain these blessings exemplified in this prayer. This prayer is in this is a prayer casted in poetic form in Jewish literature. The first line of this prayer consists of three Hebrew words and 12 syllables. The second stanza, verse 25, consists of five Hebrew words and 14 syllables. And then lastly, in the third stanza, verse 26, there are seven Hebrew words and 16 syllables. This prayer can be synthesized into three means of God's blessing toward Israel. This evening, we're going to observe the fact that the blessing of the Lord is protection, that the blessing of the Lord is pardon of sin, and that the blessing of the Lord is peace. So if you will focus with me on verse 24, we are going to observe the first blessing of the Lord, where Abraham writes, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The first point of verse 24 is that the Lord will bless you, and this synthesizes the fact that protection is a blessing of the Lord. During the Old Testament, God would bless individuals by giving them property, children, or personal provisions of daily life. If you'll flip over to me with Genesis chapter 17, verse 16, here we'll see the point of God blessing individuals with earthly provisions. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 16, God says to Abraham, "And I will bless her, and also give her a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. King of peoples shall be from her." The thought of God blessing individuals with material means, with children, property, or daily bread, if you will, is also exemplified in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 through 6. Here, the text reads, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the increase of the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall be you when you go out." But certainly in the two scriptures referenced, there is an emphasis upon physical blessings in the Lord. The emphasis of blessings in the New Testament, however, is one of spiritual matters. This is emphasized in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Within verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, there's a phrase that must be studied. This phrase is "in Christ," in him. This is where the spiritual blessings are. An individual who is not in Christ Jesus, an individual who is not in Him, cannot have these spiritual blessings. The way and the manner an individual is in Christ, or can obtain these spiritual blessings, is exemplified by Paul and his letter to the Romans. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Here in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Paul emphasizes the fact of how an individual is in Christ, how an individual can obtain these spiritual blessings. In verse 3 of chapter 6, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized," notice this, "into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Now, friends, whenever we go into the watery grave of baptism, and we stand in the waters and we give our confession of faith, and we are immersed completely in the water, we are then being clothed with Christ. We are being immersed into Him, if you will. We are completely surrounded by Christ at that point. A baptism is the point in which an individual is put into Christ. Then the individual is able to have these spiritual blessings. Another verse or another scripture reference that promotes the thought that baptism is the point in which an individual is in Christ Jesus is in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. In Galatians 3, chapter 26 and 27, Paul writes, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized," notice this, "into Christ Jesus, you have put on Christ." Friends, the emphasis is, the point that I'm trying to address is that baptism is the point when we are put into Christ. Once we are put into Christ, then we have access to these spiritual blessings. If one has not been immersed for the remissions of their sins, as the Jews were commanded on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they will not be able to access these blessings. One can only receive spiritual blessings unless they are in Christ Jesus. One cannot receive any spiritual blessings unless they are baptized in the appropriate manner, since baptism is what puts us in Christ Jesus. The second principle of the Lord blessing individuals who faithfully follow Him that is exemplified in Numbers chapter 6 is the fact of, or is the principle of pardoning sin. This is promoted by Abraham in verse 25, where Abraham writes, "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." This is the thought of being pardoned of sin. Notice in verse 25, where Abraham says, "The Lord make His face shine upon you." Here within this verse, the thought being portrayed by Abraham can be alluded to the sun shining upon the earth. The feeling that we get as the sun completely surrounds us by its warming kindness. Many of these characteristics can be such as warming, being nurturing, being consumable. One may even say that we are completely indwelling in the light. This is the expression of God's favor and grace bestowed upon the faithful individuals that follow His commandments. The fire and condemnation go forth from the face of God to those who do not obey Him, but those who diligently seek Him are able to obtain a reward. This is exemplified in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The second point presented by Abraham in verse 25 is that the Lord will be gracious to you. The Lord is long-suffering and merciful, even during the times of the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Peter, in the first epistle of Peter, a Old Testament example of the Lord being long-suffering is recorded. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, the Apostle Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also we went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. For the Lord longed for the people during the time of Noah to come to a point of repentance. It's often that individuals associate the characteristics of God during the Old Testament as easily upset, angry, and continually striving to inflict wrath upon the people of the earth. But these characteristics are not all that exemplify God. God is God. He is unchanging in nature. God has always been gracious to those who faithfully follow him, just as he is gracious to men today in the New Testament church who faithfully follow him. Today, the Lord continues in the same long-suffering manner toward every lost soul. The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But friends, the Lord does not wish for any of us to perish for all eternity. This is why Christ Jesus was crucified on the cross, so that each of us, having an obedient faith in the Lord, obeying his commandments, may dwell with him for all eternity. However, the fact is that although the Lord was crucified on the cross, it is our decision to follow him. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear me, and I know them, and they follow me." And in result of hearing the word of God and being known by Christ and diligently following Christ, no man will be able to pluck us out of the hand of God. But notice in verses 27 through 29, it is a conditional state in which an individual must be diligently seeking Christ. This is the point exemplified, that each individual must come to repentance. We must accept the fact that we are sinful human beings, that sin is worthy of death, as Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says. We must repent of these sins. We must do a U-turn and come to Christ and completely clothe ourselves with him. The question I want to ask this evening is, are you faithfully living by the will of God? Are you putting yourself into subjection to the legislations of the Lord? Or are you being wavering in your faith? Are you showing up to the church building on Sundays and checking off the box for hearing the sermon preached, for singing songs, for partaking of the Lord's Supper, but going out throughout the week and engaging in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Brethren, if we are that, if we are wavering in our faith, going out into the world after Sunday and engaging in sinful activities, we must put ourselves into subjection. We must repent of these sins and come back to the church. This is what 2 Peter, verse 3 and 9 is emphasizing, that the Lord wishes for none of us to perish but come to repentance. Brethren, if you are coming to the assembly on Sunday just to check off the box, but not living in a godly manner, I urge you this evening to contemplate in your mind, will you repent when the invitation is called? Will you come back to the fold? Will you start living in a godly manner? Will you put Christ first in your life and put the pleasures of this world behind you? If we are not living in an obedient and faithful manner toward God, we will not be able to have the pleasantries of these blessings for all eternity. We will not have the pleasantry of heaven, of dwelling with God for all eternity. The Lord wishes for no souls to perish, but all to come to repentance. All obedient believers are kept by the power of God. This is exemplified in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This scripture reference is often twisted by individuals in the denominations. But however, Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast." Brethren, if we have this obedient faith in the Lord, if we put ourselves into subjection to what the Lord has said for man to be saved, obeying the gospel of Christ, having this obedient faith. We then will have a firmly rooted position in the Lord's hand. But however, we must continue in this obedient condition, in this obedient state to the Lord, being reverent to the Lord, submissive to the Lord, and obedient to Him, not allowing our thoughts, our concerns, our opinions to keep us out of the church, but allow us to keep us firmly rooted in Him. Another passage that comes to mind when I think of how a Christian is firmly fixed in the hand of God is Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Titus writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Brethren, we must continue in this state that Titus is stressing here, that we must live soberly, we must live righteously, and we must live godly in this present age. If we are not living soberly, righteously, or godly, in this present age, then we are not able to look for the blessed appearance of our Lord and Savior. For an individual who is not living by these characteristics does not see or will not observe the gracious appearing of our Lord and Savior. We'll observe a coming of the Lord that is with hellfire and brimstone. This is why Paul writes in his second letter, to the church in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that whenever the Lord returns, He will take a fiery vengeance on those who do not know God and those who have not obeyed His gospel. Now, brethren, if we have not obeyed the gospel, if we are not living in submission to God, into Christ, we must force ourselves back into this submissive state and live by the legislations of the Lord exemplified in His word. This means Christians must be engaged in bearing fruit of the Spirit. If we're not bearing this fruit, if we're not being appeasing to the Lord and being obedient to Him, then we will not be worthy unto His kingdom, if you will. The third blessing that is exemplified in Numbers chapter 6 is in verse 26, where Abraham says, "The Lord lift you up, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." The thought portrayed by Abraham here in verse 26 is that the Lord gives peace to those who faithfully follow Him. Whenever Abraham writes that the Lord will lift up His countenance upon you, this is alluded to a father smiling upon his son. You might also say that this alludes to a man having favor of one of his friends. Literally, what this text is saying here in verse 26 is that the Lord, Jesus Christ, God the Father, is looking upon an individual when they are obediently and faithfully living by His commandments with favor. The second thought being portrayed by Abraham here in the second stanza of verse 26 is that the Lord will give you peace. This includes all that produces a complete happiness in life, a well-being, but mainly salvation. This is what is being presented mainly. The thought of being saved, the thought of being called out of this world, and having a firm foundation in His kingdom. All believers in Christ Jesus, as we've studied earlier in the lesson, have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, Paul writes of this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." See, Christians today obtain this peace due to their firm affirmation of their eternal destination, due to the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We do not have this firm affirmation of our eternal destination by our works of the law anymore. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 was saying. We do not have this firm affirmation of our eternal destination by the works of the flesh. No, that's not what it's saying. But how we have this firm affirmation of our eternal destination, how we know that our citizenship is in heaven, is by the saving power of the blood of Christ and by faithfully obeying His will. Those who faithfully live in a concordance, in accordance with the will of the Lord, may obtain the blessing of protection, of pardon, and peace. Like the days of the Old Testament, only those who are a part of the Lord received these blessings. Individuals who were in the land of Canaan did not receive the blessings of peace, protection, and pardon. But rather only the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, those who faithfully followed him during the Exodus, received these blessings. All men today can receive these blessings of the Lord. An individual can receive these blessings of the Lord by obeying the gospel plan of salvation. An individual does so by hearing the word of God. As Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. An individual must then believe, exemplified in John chapter 3, verse 36, where Jesus Christ said, he who believes has eternal life, but if we do not obey Jesus Christ, we have condemnation for all eternity. If we do not believe, then we cannot have the means of salvation. Once we believe in the Lord, once we believe in the Lord, we then must confess, or repent of our sins, exemplified in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, where Paul says, for surely God has overlooked these times of ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Brethren, we must U-turn, if you will, create a U-turn in our lives, a change of state, a change of nature, and pull ourselves into subjection of the Lord. Then after we have repented of our sins, we must confess our sins, confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, exemplified in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And then lastly, we must be baptized into Christ Jesus in order to get these blessings. Exemplified in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Brethren, if an individual has not been baptized while believing, having this faith, this obedient faith in the Lord, they are not then added to the church. They are not in Christ Jesus and are not able to have these blessings. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ this evening, I ask you, will you allow us to help you in doing so? Will you submit to the will of the Father this evening and put on Christ in baptism? The question is also asked is, you possibly may have been in the church. You possibly may have been baptized into Christ Jesus and had the access to these abundant blessings. But you may have fallen away from the faith. You might have gone astray back into this world. And I ask you this evening as well, will you allow us to help you this evening to be returned back to the fold, to renew your faith in Christ Jesus, to repent of your sins so that you may have access of these spiritual blessings this evening? Brethren, whatever your case may be, there's no matter that should keep us from coming forward. If there's any hesitation in our salvation, the time is now to please come forward as we stand and as we sing.